Tonight, each and every show, we always kick it off with our pals from Talk Radio News. They're all over State of the Union address. Jeff Holtzman, he had a bird's eye view. Jeff, I've been asking everyone that's come on reaction to the State of the Union. And, of course, you know, you ask a Democrat, they're going to say something pretty much different from a Republican. But overall, when we could see people leaving and shaking hands and all that kind of stuff, would you say this was one of his better ones, just a ho-hum one, or where would you rank this, the fifth State of the Union?
Well, I think it was one of his more fiery ones, that's for sure. I mean, I think that he was more aggressive in this one than maybe years past. I think part of that, Kate, is because he's learned over the years that no matter what he does, you know, whether he tries these charm offensives with Republicans or whether he, you know, sort of is more passive-aggressive toward them, he's getting the same result, which is he's not getting much in the way of cooperation on big-ticket items. Now, it's true that Republicans and Democrats came together to pass a budget. It's true that they're close to passing a farm bill. But, you know, on the president's big, you know, domestic policy items, you know, things that he thinks will create a legacy for him, you know, like, you know, ridding the world of poverty, ridding the country, at least, of poverty, and that sort of thing. He thinks that Republicans have really protected the status quo. So tonight he really came out firing at Republicans and sort of challenging them and saying, look, if you're not going to give me anything that I want or compromise with me, I'm just going to, you know, use my executive authority as president and do things myself. One of the examples of that, he said, is he's going to soon sign a directive that would raise the minimum wage for federal employees and federal contractors. Don't know exactly when that's going to take effect, but that's something that he can do himself. And then, you know, he said to Congress tonight, I'm going to do that, and then I want you to raise the minimum wage for everybody on a national scale. And I don't know if Congress is going to do that. There's legislation out there, but it's Democratic legislation. It doesn't have much Republican support, so we'll see. So overall, back to my original point, I think the president was very fiery tonight. He was confrontational with Republicans and basically saying, you know, take it or leave it, but if you're not going to work with me, I'm going to move forward on my own.
Yeah, so it was all about the executive order, basically, the power of the pen. And heading into the State of the Union, there just was this Washington Post ABC News poll that, you know, 52% of the people responding said the president should use executive orders. And that included 69% of Democrats who said, of course. So the reaction to that, though, from the Republicans is not good. They're talking about, oh, impeachment, and, you know, this is against the Constitution. That's what John Boehner is saying. So there might be a little bit of a war there, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he didn't do anything to bring Republicans over to his side. I mean, I talked to a couple House Republicans after the speech who were very upset that the president went after them on health care. I mean, if you listen to the speech, the president essentially said, look, you guys have tried to repeal the health care law 40-some-odd times. It hasn't worked. We get the point. Stop trying to do it. And if you have a better idea, put it on the table rather than just talk about repealing the law. That really irked some of the Republican members I talked to who said that, you know, they didn't necessarily offer new policy prescriptions when I talked to them, but they said that the health care law as it is right now is not working and that, you know, most of the people who have signed up or who have learned they're eligible are Medicaid beneficiaries and not folks enrolling in, you know, individual plans or group plans on the private market. And the Republicans I talked to, Ron DeSantis, for instance, from Florida, said that premiums in his state have skyrocketed because of Obamacare. So Republicans are, and we knew that Republicans would make Obamacare a huge issue this year because, of course, it is an election year. But that was the big takeaway for a lot of Republicans tonight. The president really jabbed them on health care, and he shouldn't have. And he should look for ways to work with them. Real quick, before I wrap this thought up, a couple of Republicans in the Senate, we didn't get to this yesterday, but a couple of Republicans in the Senate have introduced their own health care reform bill. Don't know if it's going to get a vote, but essentially it would return a lot of the authority to states to implement their own health care best practices. It would include some of the protections, consumer protections that Obamacare has. It would let children stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. It would essentially lift lifetime limits on health care spending. People with pre-existing conditions would be helped out, not as much as they are in Obamacare. But it's an interesting proposal. We'll see if it gets more support in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, another big theme, I wanted to throw this out because everybody was waiting for this, although he didn't dive deep into it, just saying, let's get this done, immigration reform.
Yeah, he didn't really go deep into it. He almost sort of gave it just a mention in passing.
Yeah.
But it's a well-known fact that more and more Republicans are swinging around on immigration reform. There's been a lot of pressure on GOP leadership to do something about it. And in the coming days and weeks, Republicans are expected to unveil their principles for immigration reform. Tomorrow, Republicans go on their congressional retreat, and at that retreat, it's expected that they'll essentially firm up their agenda for the rest of this year. And when they come back in town, they'll, you know, sort of publicize that agenda and start working on it. And one of the things is going to be some sort of immigration reform. I don't know if it's going to be a comprehensive bill like the one the Senate passed with citizenship or pathway to citizenship, but they're going to put principles on the table. And so this marks sort of a departure from, you know, past Republican caucuses that have been extremely opposed to taking up immigration reform at all costs. It looks like Republicans are moving, albeit slowly, on immigration. The president probably realizes he's not going to get any sort of breakthrough anytime soon, but he knows that there's an opening to make a little bit of headway.
Yeah. There was some humor mixed into this. What do you think was the best line of the night?
I thought, you know, the president, when he sarcastically going back to healthcare, I thought when the president said, you know, I know you guys have tried to repeal the healthcare law 40 some odd times, we get it. And I mean, his delivery was good on that line. You know, he paused, you could tell that he was being sarcastic. That's sort of emblematic of this president's sense of humor. He has a dry sense of humor. He's sarcastic. It appeals to, you know, younger voters who are into that, type of sense of humor and that style. So I thought that was one of his better lines on the night.
Yeah, I thought so, too. All right, Jeff Holtzman, thanks so much. As always, we know it's very busy for you. We appreciate it.
It was good to be with you, Kay. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Realities, that's what I think. The president billing this one as the year of action. Actually jabbing Congress, as you heard there, Jeff, talking about... He was surprised that he went in that direction as far as Obamacare was concerned, because he didn't really do any mea culpas. I thought maybe there would be a, hey, the rollout was a little bumpy, but stay on the road with us folks, or something like that to try to spin it. But there wasn't a spin necessarily there. In fact, there wasn't a lot of there when it came to healthcare, except for pointing out somebody who was in the audience who had surgery after getting health care that she never had before. It was just a week later, and if she hadn't had it, she would have gone bankrupt. That was the moment, basically, of this is the illustration, and then moving on from that. I think overall in the State of the Union, there was a little of this, a little of that. It was like a smorgasbord. Hurry up, we got an hour, we're going to jam in everything that I intend to do here, and then we're moving on, and this is I. You know, when you take speech, or when you learn to give speeches, there's not so much of the eye. I mean, he danced around it a bit, but that's what this speech was about. This was the fifth State of the Union for this president. He wants to pass the jobs bill. He wants to create new jobs. He says he'll work around Congress. He says he'll help the long-term unemployed. He talks about equal pay for women. Talks about immigration reform, no specific policy, just work with me, we're going to get it done. And what was one of the first things out of his mouth? We got that next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
This can be a breakthrough year for America. After 5 years of grit and determined effort, the United States is better positioned for the 21st century than any other nation on earth. For the first time in over a decade, business leaders around the world have declared that China is no longer the world's number one place to invest. America is.
Right is the operative word there. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to be the attack dog. I listened to this thing from end to end. And, you know, the bottom line is it almost felt like one of those speeches, not necessarily specifics in the State of the Union address. In fact, very little specifics. It felt like one of those, listen, we're down in the polls. Let's throw in a little humor. Let's point to some people in the audience that deserve to be acknowledged, or let's talk about their plight and how this is America. And other presidents do it, so it's not that it hasn't been done before. And let's stand behind the flag as much as we can, which I'm all about patriotism and saying, yeah, baby, we are there. But America number one, that's not what most people believe. Most people are very disillusioned. That NBC poll showed that 68% of the people who responded felt as though they were worse off, that we are worse off than we have been in like 10 years. Worse off. So most of the country feeling really depleted, really depressed. The unemployment numbers are a little bit skewed. If you say we have 6.7% unemployment, which translates to just over 10 million, that's a false number because there's so many people that are underemployed. There's so many people that have just given up. In fact, I know five people who have given up, which is incredible. And these are people at all, with all different levels of education. These are people that have killed themselves trying to do whatever they can to get a job. And yes, they are stringing menial jobs together to try to exist, but they refuse to go on the dole, as they call it. They refuse to dip into unemployment. And one of the big cries here was, we're number one. You know, if China isn't the number one place in the world to invest, it's America. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't we like to see more made in America every place? on this show, and we're bringing it back again. For months, we did a Made in America segment. I got great reaction to it, well before a lot of other people were doing it, but it doesn't matter. That's neither here nor there. But the idea was to highlight what it was like for these companies to make things in America, how expensive in many cases it was for them, and almost not very doable, but they were determined that they were going to make it in America. They were going to make that happen, even if it cost them more, which it did in every single case, whether we were talking about clothing, whether we were talking about some type of goods. I mean, everything from the typical household things that you see to furniture, etc. Just how much more expensive it is to do that. But, man, I was proud of those people because they really felt like this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to create jobs. They wanted to keep it in America. And wouldn't it be great if what the president said was true? China is no longer the number one place in the world to invest. It's America. Are you kidding? China doesn't even want to dump any more money into America. They have so much of our debt now at this point. So there were a couple of things that were great flowery language to rally up the crowd, especially the Democrats. And some Republicans jumped in at moments where, you know, who's going to sit on their hands when you say, let's have immigration reform. Let's get this done, people. Let's get this done. Woohoo! Everybody applauds. Even John Boehner, who the Tanis man in Congress, was pretty poker-faced for the most part, except for a few cryptic smiles and some humor moments. And when immigration reform came up for a few moments from the mouth of the president, naturally clapping there and agreeing to that, because as I mentioned, who's not going to agree to that? But there's no broad, I mean, these are all very broad ideas, no specific strokes here. And that's always the problem. The problem is, okay, if I work for a company and I say, this is what we're going to deliver, they're going to say to me, how are you going to deliver it? Tell me the steps we need to do to deliver this. What are the steps? There's never any steps. I mean, this was a good one, for example, if we're talking about Made in America. Close the loopholes to end incentives to outsource and lower tax rates. Well, when is this going to happen? That's my big question mark. When we've been talking about this, too. When are we going to see lower tax rates so those jobs aren't overseas? Because truly, and I watch the financial news, everything from, you know, Fast Money to whatever else is on the tube on CNBC or things in between. And when you see these CEOs come on, for as much as you can believe them, they'll say that they would love to bring jobs back to America, that they have XYZ over in China, over in Malaysia, someplace else, right? India. Why? Because they can't afford to, one, keep what they have in the United States with the incredible corporate tax rate, all that kind of stuff. So they're the idea of the president saying, make the incentives, end the incentives to outsource. Okay, when are these loopholes closing? What specific loopholes? What's going to kill the cash cow for these companies who still have a little window of opportunity to make more money by producing things overseas? When does that window close? When does it close? And then there were a few facts that were thrown out, just as facts, but nothing necessarily there to back it up. And the tug of war over climate change. Is it climate change or is it seasonal? What is it? And just flat out kind of thrown out there was the debate is settled. Climate change is a fact. Climate change is a fact. Well, there were some people sitting on their hands for that one. And here's the problem. Yeah, I am not kidding you about this. I don't care, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever you are. Just sick of all the parties, you want something better, whatever. If you walk into a room full of scientists, I guarantee this, and you're not talking politics and there's no money attached to it and you're just having conversations, you are not going to get those scientists who deal with the climate to tell you that. You're not going to get an agreement in the room. You're going to have many arguments, and you're probably going to, it's going to be just like Congress, is going to be split down the middle. So the facts are still not there. They're too vague. If it was hardcore, yes, we agree, 90% of us, because here's what we're seeing, boom, 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 boom. Here's here's what's happening with the polar caps and the ice and what's melting, and now this is what's going to happen if you're not paying attention, and all of that are just taken as fact, but then you take them around to serious scientists, not nutballs on either side of this. And we've done it. We have done it here on America Tonight. You will not get any kind of a consensus on that. So anyway, that was sort of just a throwaway thing, and it was really attached as a setup to things like fossil fuels, to end the whole dependency on fossil fuels. We know there were some people certainly cringing who are in these coal-dependent areas in America thinking, like West Virginia, so goes coal, so goes West Virginia. And then the conversation about natural gas, or what he said about natural gas, American energy, we're closer to energy independence than ever before, natural gas especially, but then throwing in the caveat that, safe natural gas, when we can safely do it, this is the direction that we're headed in. And going on down through the path of where we need to be energy-wise, and throwing in ever so slightly the whole idea about solar. So here's the thing. I hope that we get a lot of that sun if we're going solar. And how are we going to get that affordability? I mean, where's the affordability of this all? It's already flopped with some of the programs that were supported in guaranteed loans with the green initiatives. So there's problems with that. And there were a few other things certainly that we're going to dissect as we move along here that were thrown out. Some of them I would agree with. I mean, retraining veterans and their families, absolutely. Who's not going to agree to that? Who's not going to think that's a terrific thing to do? Absolutely. Of course. Though, how about the rebuttal to the State of the Union, the Tea Party response? That's next here on ATN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Reality of the State of the Union address. And by the way, if you want to throw in your 2 cents, of course you can. What grade would you give the Prez? Almost a layup, I think, for some of you on this State of the Union address. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. And remember, everybody's welcome. I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, or somewhere in between. There is no doubt, however, where Senator Mike Lee, a Republican from Utah, stands. It's all about the Tea Party. He gave the Tea Party response, and we wanted to share some of that with you. Take a listen.
Good evening. I'm Senator Mike Lee from Utah. In the few minutes I have tonight, I'd like to speak especially to those Americans who may feel they've been forgotten by both political parties. Those individuals and families who work hard, play by the rules, balance their budgets, honor the golden rule, and don't understand why their government in Washington can't do the same. You're probably as frustrated as I am about an ever-growing government that somehow thinks it's okay to lie to, spy on, and even target its own citizens. Many hard-working Americans are discouraged and wondering what, if anything, can be done. I believe we need to do what Americans have always done, come together and press for positive change. Protesting against dysfunctional government is a great American tradition. Going back to the original Tea Party in Boston about 240 years ago, Americans have a natural instinct to stand up and speak out when they know something's wrong. In 1773, Americans had simply had it with a London-based national government that had become too big, too expensive, and far too intrusive. It's important to note, however, that had the founding generation stopped at just protesting against the kind of government Americans did not want, The Boston Tea Party would have been little more than a footnote in history. At most, it would have been remembered as just one more futile protest against an abusive national government. Fortunately for all of us, those early patriots moved on from Boston and moved past their protest against the government they didn't want. They marched forward on a road toward the kind of government they did want. It took them 14 long years to get from Boston to Philadelphia, where they created, with our Constitution, the kind of government they did want. In America, the test of any political movement is not what that movement is against, but what it's for. The founders made a point at Boston Harbor, but they made history in Philadelphia's Independence Hall. Unfortunately, in recent years, we've had no choice but to engage in a number of protests against our current president's Washington-centered agenda. As Americans, we must always be willing to fight the Boston-type battles, boldly calling out bad policy whenever we see it. But we must do so with an eye toward Philadelphia, maintaining a positive focus on the kind of nation we want to be and become. Today, Americans know in their hearts that something's wrong. Much of what's wrong relates to the sense that the American dream's falling out of reach for far too many of us. We're facing an inequality crisis, one to which the president has paid lip service, but seems uninterested in truly confronting or correcting. This inequality crisis presents itself in three principal forms: immobility among the poor, who are being trapped in poverty by big government programs; insecurity in the middle class, where families are struggling just to get ahead, and they can't seem to do much more than that; and cronyist privilege at the top, where political and economic insiders twist the immense power of the federal government to profit at the expense of everyone else. To be fair, President Obama and his party did not create all of these problems. The Republican establishment in Washington can be just as out of touch as the Democratic establishment. However, tonight, as on numerous occasions of late, the president's lofty rhetoric ignored the fact that his administration continues to leave poor and middle-class families further behind, while he and his allies insist that the real problem is inequality itself. But where does this new inequality come from? From government. Every time it takes rights and opportunities away from the American people and gives them instead to politicians, bureaucrats, and special interests. Inequality, real inequality, is trapping poor children in failing schools to benefit bureaucrats and union bosses. It's penalizing low-income parents for getting married or getting better jobs. It's guaranteeing insurance companies taxpayer bailouts if Obamacare cuts into their profits. Inequality is blocking thousands of middle-class jobs in the energy industry as a favor to partisan donors and radical environmental activists. Inequality is denying viable unborn children any protection under the law while exempting unsanitary late-term abortion clinics from basic safety standards. It's denying citizens their right to define marriage in their states as traditionally or as broadly as their diverse values dictate. It's the federal government hurting rural communities, especially in the West, by controlling and mismanaging public lands. It's changing laws without congressional approval and spying on American citizens without constitutional authority. And, of course, Obamacare, all by itself, is an inequality Godzilla that has robbed working families of their insurance, their doctors, their wages, and their jobs. Many Americans are now seeing why some of us fought so hard to stop this train wreck over the last 4 years.
All right, that was some of Mike Lee's response. I thought he was, the effective part of that was going through the inequality, because that was taking a spin on what the president said about inequality in America. And he gave you some specifics there, things that the Republicans have been up in arms about for a while, especially the Tea Party variety, and the shot about health care. You know, the other side of health care is the fact that, and the president ignored the health care problem specifically in the speech, is exactly what Lee is saying, that people now can't, in many cases, go to their doctors any longer. And I can't emphasize enough how rough that is, because of the handicapping of people who are sick when they've got to go to, you know, to new doctors all of a sudden. So the president didn't even weigh in on health care until 45 minutes or so into the State of the Union address, you know, and said, in case you haven't heard, we're in the process of fixing that, you know, the broken healthcare system, saying that more than 3 million people under 26 now have coverage under their parents' plans, and 9 million Americans signed up for private health insurance or Medicaid coverage. And the big line was, no American can ever again be dropped or denied coverage for pre-existing conditions like asthma, back pain, or cancer, and that no woman can ever be charged more just because she's a woman. But he didn't make any of the mistakes of what this program has been to some people, and he conceded that Republicans might have some ideas on how to make things better. There was one thing he said, but he also threw in, I don't expect to convince my Republican friends on the merits of the law, but I know that the American people, and this is it, this was the one salvo. I know the American people aren't interested in refighting old battles. So again, if you have any specific plans to cut costs, cover more people, increase choice, tell America what you'd do differently. Let's see if the numbers add up. And that was it. But what's interesting is with this repackaging of this repackaging basically of healthcare. You've got a situation, for example, where Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, who's been battling cancer for a while, he loses coverage for his cancer doctor under Obamacare. I mean, there's a classic example of losing a doctor at a critical time because it doesn't fit the bill. And, you know, he was on Morning Joe, I happened to catch it, and of course this is now out all over the place, where he said, I'm doing well from a health standpoint, but fortunately, even though my new coverage won't cover my specialist, I'm going to have great care, and I have a great prognosis, but the fact that he's going to have to keep paying out of pocket to continue getting care from his oncologist, which the oncologist is huge when you're treating cancer, there is the specific example of some of the problems other people are encountering with health care, and this is why it wasn't what they were expecting. I think really with the State of the Union, the president was expecting there would be more people who would be signed up for it and they could tout it a little bit more, but because of some of the problems, they weren't able to do that. And there was the prime example. There you have a senator who can say, this is what's happened to me, and this is what's happening to a lot of people. I think the main theme of the State of the Union, and that's what Mike Lee was going after, is the theme of the inequality. But what about what's really inequitable in America? And the overall umbrella of executive order, using executive order to go it alone. If I have to go it alone, and this is the year of action, and we're not going to get action, then that's basically what we'll do. Saying, flat out setting it up that way, this is where we're going. This is where we're headed. How about some fact checking? There are people that get paid big bucks to do it. Much bigger bucks than I get to go through it. In fact, I had a few do it for me. We'll go through some of what the president had to say in the State of the Union address that doesn't quite meet the eye next on America Tonight.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338. And talk to the patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
It is time to do away with workplace policies that belong in a Mad Men episode. This year, let's all come together, Congress, the White House, businesses from Wall Street to Main Street, to give every woman the opportunity she deserves, because I believe when women succeed, America succeeds. That is wrong. And in 2014, it's an embarrassment. Women deserve equal pay for equal work.
Little nuggets from the State of the Union address. Big moments. All the women stood up and applauded that. The Democrats, for sure, on their feet, talking about equal pay. And also, it was pretty funny, the reference to Mad Men policies was a pretty funny reference. So there were, if you watch that show, you know what I'm talking about. There were a few funny things that he was able to weave into the State of the Union address, but not a lot of specific facts. So upon fact-checking some of what was said, one of the things that was a big, big piece of the State of the Union, because it was about the economy and businesses and jobs and people working and how great we are and we're better than China, a whole chunk of it was business, 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 right from the get-go. So one of the things is the specific quote from the State of the Union. The president said, "Today, after 4 years of economic growth, corporate profits and stock prices have rarely been higher, and those at the top have never done better. But average wages have barely budged. Inequality has deepened. Upward mobility has stalled." Well, there are a bunch of economists that released a study last week that found that the United States isn't any less socially mobile than it was in the 70s. What they did was they looked at kids born between 1971 and 93. The Economist found that the odds of a child born in the poorest 20% of families making it into the top 20% has not changed. So let me repeat that statistic. A poor child, a child born in the poorest of poorest neighborhoods, families, 20%, making it into the top 20% hasn't changed. It's the same. So they have the same chances, if those statistics are accurate from this Harvard study, the Economist from Harvard, they have the same chances, believe it or not, of moving up in the income distribution area as children born in the 70s, kids now, entering the labor market. It might not seem that way, right? But they do, believe it or not. And in a study of 22 countries, they found that the United States ranked 15th in social mobility. Only Italy and England were among wealthy countries ranked lower. So children in the United States are as likely to inherit their parents' economic status as their height. How about that? As their height. And that's not surprising. It's, you know, money makes money. People born, somebody who has economic advantages and somebody who gets a little bit of a leg up because of what their parents plowed. Of course, that makes sense that they would inherit that, and unless they squandered it, they would be able to make more of that, be able to amass more. All right, here's another thing that came out of the speech. Jobs, jobs, jobs. We'll need Congress to protect more than 3 million jobs by finishing transportation and waterway bills this summer. I will act on my own to slash bureaucracy, red tape, and streamline the permitting process for key projects so we can get more construction workers on the job as fast as possible. But it's not what's holding it up. It's money. Money, money, money. Yep, the Federal Highway Trust Fund is running out of money in August without action. That's where the action needs to happen. So to finance all these infrastructure projects, I hate that word, infrastructure. I don't know, there's no other word I could find that would fit that, but that's what they call it, infrastructure projects. The president wants Congress to raise taxes on businesses that keep profits or jobs overseas. But that's just been, it's never gone anywhere. It goes back to that same thing again. Raise taxes on businesses that keep profits or jobs overseas, and then those companies turn around and say, well, if you would give us an equitable tax rate, we wouldn't have done that in the first place. But since it's so crazy high, higher than what other people are paying, that's why we started doing that in the first place, because guess what? We have shareholders and we have to make profit. Even if you think we're greedy, that's what the deal is. So there's a big problem with that. The reason most projects are delayed, they don't have enough money. They don't have enough money. That's it. That's the bottom line. So you want to invest in infrastructure, you got to have the money there in the first place. All right, here's another thing. The president talked about health insurance, which we talked about during this hour, right? More than 9 million Americans have signed up for private health insurance or Medicaid coverage. That's what the president said. And here's the fact. You're not saying that 9 million more Americans have gained insurance under the law. Really, it's about 6 million people that have been determined at this point to be eligible for Medicaid since October 1st. And then another 3 million have signed up for private health insurance through the markets that were created with the health care law, which I already stated before, which he said in his speech. So that's where the 9 million comes from. How many in the Medicaid group were already eligible for the program or just renewing existing coverage, which would be a lot of people, frankly, that are renewing. So the number of uninsured gaining coverage might be smaller than you would think. In fact, the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index found that the uninsured rate for the U.S. adults topped 1.2 percentage points in January to 16.1%. That would translate to roughly 2 million to 3 million newly insured people since the law's coverage expansion actually kicked in January 1st. And then, since we're on the subject of money, I mean, isn't it? It all comes back to that, doesn't it? In the coming weeks, the president said, I'm going to issue an executive order requiring federal contractors to pay their federally funded employees a fair wage of at least $10.10 an hour, because if you cook our troops' meals or wash their dishes, you shouldn't have to live in poverty. But that would be a huge boost in what is the minimum wage. Does anyone know what the minimum wage is now? $7.25. But they really wouldn't see it that way, because most employees of federal contractors earn more than $10.10. In fact, about 200,000 roughly are covered by a higher wage, a higher minimum wage. The increase wouldn't take effect until 2015 at the earliest, and it wouldn't apply to existing federal contracts, only new ones. So all the people under the right now, under the contracts, which are usually in place for a long time, it wouldn't matter. And renewed contracts also would be exempt from the order unless other terms of the agreement changed, like the type of work or the number of employees. So there are few people that would be able to benefit anyway. And remember, this is a familiar theme, pressing Congress to raise minimum wage overall, the federal minimum wage overall. That was one of the things that came out last year. Last year it was $9 minimum. Congress didn't do anything. So fat chance that that's going to happen again this time around. And that's just a few facts, a few that we scrambled to and were able to, my crack researchers behind me were able to get to before we jumped on the air. And there probably are some other things we could dissect from the speech, but facts are facts, and there are some of the facts of some of the things that were said, and it's all about interpretation. It's easy to manipulate some of that, but the infrastructure especially, cutting red tape and thinking that, you know, this is ridiculous, it's log jammed, has nothing to do with that. It has to do with funding and the money. So clearly that's where the big problem lies. State of the Union address. If you have any thoughts, you can always send me those thoughts, no matter what they're on, you know that. AmericaTonight.net.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.